Really delighted to be here with you all. I'm joining you from Johannesburg, the unceded land of the Sand People. And I go by she, her. I'm looking forward to this opportunity to practice with you. Grateful for this technology that allows us to practice with each other across continents. Monique, are there announcements to make or we proceed with meditation?
We can move forward with the meditation.
So we'll sit about 30 minutes and I'll give a talk of about 30 minutes and then we'll have an opportunity for question, response, reflections, and just open dialogue. So I invite you to unhurriedly find a sitting posture that supports you to be upright, alert, and yet relaxed and at ease. Bringing our full attention to the body in the sitting posture. Noticing places where the body is making contact. Sitting bones as they meet with the chair. Sensations of the feet. Connecting with Earth. Noting the feel of the clothing on the body. Scanning the whole body on top of the head, through the sitting base down to your feet. Softening what can be softened. Softening the muscles of the face, dropping the jaw, relaxing the shoulders, and soften the belly. throughout the meditation, continuing to invite a sense of ease and alertness. Perhaps your eyes are closed, or it's a soft, lowered gaze. Hands sit comfortably on your lap. Upper body is held up on the spine. Tucking of the chin towards the chest allows for the opening the top of the neck. And I invite you to extend your awareness to sounds around you and sounds beyond the room you're in. Perhaps even to the sound of silence. Noticing the presence of sounds as they arise and pass away. Simply resting with awareness in the middle of all the sounds, allowing sounds to be heard effortlessly. Now returning the attention to the body with the same open, receptive attention. Again, feel the body in the sitting posture. As you connect with the body, you'll notice the changing sensations of in-breath and out-breath. Let your attention rest in the sensations of breathing in and breathing out. Resting in the experience of breathing. As you attend to the sensations of breathing, from time to time, the attention gets lost in thought. This is not a problem. By being aware that the mind is lost in thought, this mindfulness already. Kindly, gently returning attention to the body, resting the attention with the experience of breathing. A soft mental noting of each breath can be helpful when you silently repeat to yourself, breathing in and breathing out. And continuing to do so. Until you notice that the mind settles and you can release the noting. Continuing to practice like this for the rest of the sitting practice. Just resting. Resting the attention with the experience of breathing. Noticing when the breath is clearly experienced. This could be the nostrils, the chest, or the belly. And rest the attention there, where the breath is clearly experienced. As we come to the end of our sitting practice, I invite you to take some time and offer yourself prayers of loving kindness. You can use your own phrases, or you can choose from the few I'll mention. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I feel safe and at ease. May I touch deep natural peace. Repeating each phrase a few times. Approaching this more like an experiment. I'm just sensing what words and images best serve to allow for softening and opening of your heart. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I feel safe and at ease. May I touch deep natural peace. As you repeat these phrases, you might even explore placing a hand over your heart. Allow for the deepening of the experience of holding yourself with kindness and compassion. Whatever arises as you repeat the words, it's okay. The same intention can be directed to others. The ones who are with in this sangha right now, the ones at home, and all beings everywhere, and send out this beautiful intention for the well-being. Oh. Monique please use your bell. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for the goodness of your practice. Greetings to all of you. Notice these feelings of joy that I can spend this time with you, reflecting on the teachings of the Buddha. For our well-being, for liberation, suffering. So the topic of today goes, no shame in suffering. This is a topic that comes from a retreat I attended about a month ago. We had the honor here in South Africa to have Ajahn Sucito coming from Amarawati to spend about 6 weeks here in South Africa. After a few days of so much mental and physical suffering, this thought came up very clearly. No shame in suffering. You might think, Nalita, with all the practice we have done for so many years, what was that the best realization you could come up with in this retreat? Yes. It takes long. It's a gradual process. To penetrate this experience of suffering with understanding. I was reflecting post that experience on when. Did I first learn that there is shame in suffering? In that reflection, it was obvious that this is a message that came from my cultural conditioning. I was raised in a household, in a culture where you had to be strong. The message was be strong. I remember growing up. You couldn't come home from school and complain about bullying. And it's interesting how, with the greater awareness of trauma, that bullying actually is a behavior that results into experiences of trauma with lasting psychological effects. So in my household, there was no room to feel sadness, fear. You always had to put up a brave face. So I come into Buddhism as a young adult. First retreat, the message is there is suffering. I've never had anybody say that in my life before. And of course, most of us, when we meet with Buddhism and hear this teaching, we're suffering, recognizing of suffering and contemplating suffering is at the heart of the teachings. Most of us feel relieved. Oh. There is suffering. So you can imagine for most of us that being invited, encouraged to look towards pain, hurt, suffering. It's a radical act. Suffering is so obvious. We're vulnerable as human beings. So vulnerable at a physical level, death, aging, sickness, and then death is a daily experience for some, for most. Any one of us at any given point in time can receive a diagnosis that says you won't live for long. You have 2 months, you have 3 months, you have 6 months. Psychologically, we're very vulnerable. We're vulnerable to what the Buddha calls the worldly winds. Gain and loss, praise and blame, pleasure and pain, success and failure. This can be daily life experiences. We're vulnerable as group identities, racialized identities, experience daily suffering that relates to various acts of harm, the wars men made for men in Gaza right now, domestic politics and politics beyond, which results into divisiveness. We're vulnerable at individual levels, we're vulnerable at collective levels. So suffering, dukkha, is a key feature in our human experience. You have truth to be worth, and of course, to cope. You and I deploy various strategies, defenses, we deny suffering, we avoid suffering, we rationalize suffering. We keep ourselves so busy. I think this is the number one strategy of modern society. Keep busy. In September last year, I spent a month in a monastery, thinking it was time to slow down and deepen practice. You'd be surprised how busy monasteries are. We avoid pain by becoming super performers. We project strength, invulnerability. We deceive ourselves. We think we're strong. I'm strong. I think, especially as an African woman, there's something about projecting strength. A conversation I had recently with a friend. She was talking about an experience of feeling that she's continuously driving harder and harder, striving more and more to do. This is on one hand. On the other, constant fear of making mistakes. And she was saying to me, the two meet. And I feel intense, tense, contracted most of the time. We can also try to avoid suffering by being identified with the experience of suffering. We become victims. There are many other ways of trying to cope. In trying to cope, in deploying these strategies, We turn away from the heart. Or we shut down. Peter Sarah, my teacher, to this would say, when we turn away from the heart and the sensitivity that we are as human beings, we become refuges away from the heart. These teachings of the Buddha are an invitation to actually turn towards the hurt, the pain, the ill will, the desires, achiness, and to meet with this experience of dukkha, with loving kindness. The first noble truth says, recognize, allow, contemplate suffering in order to understand it. When through our practice, we pause, take a step back from the entanglement with the content of the mind, wisdom is active. It is when we take a step back that we can disidentify with what's going on in the heart, in the mind. Yes, this is a radical act because the instinct, the impulse is to run away. And we have these well-developed ways of running away. What is your way? How do you run away from suffering? How do you avoid suffering? What is your experience of suffering? These are useful contemplations that require slowing down, pausing, and taking a step back. To be able then to hear those voices in our heads. One of them that is common for most of us is the inner critic with the message, more and more and more. Otherwise, not just not good enough. So the teachings of a Buddha are an invitation to live as closely as possible to our immediate experience. How is it just now? only place where life is in the here and now. Pausing, slowing down, listening, sensing. This is a practice that requires patience. The patience to bear with life. The patience to listen to ourselves. The patience to befriend this human experience. Encouraging words from Thich Nhat Hanh in relation to this. Go like this. Learn to love your body. Learn to love your mind. Without loving your body, without loving your mind, you have no home. A powerful message. How many of us truly love our bodies, love our minds? And love here means being with our experience as it is. And largely, our experience is full of suffering, of stress, hurt, fear, unsatisfactoriness. In the same retreat with Ajahn Sucito, one of the questions that were posed to him was about the First Noble Truth. The question was, what is noble about the noble truth of suffering? A few things from his response that I can remember was that suffering presents itself. So things break down. We make mistakes. We experience sense of inadequacy. And that dukkha, suffering, is a characteristic of existence. One of the things he said, to look away is ignoble. We laughed when he mentioned Netflix as one of the ways we look away. I mean, he's a monastic, he knows about Netflix. So, yes, no shame in suffering. We will have shame about suffering if we are identified with this experience. That is a constant, really, experience of a conditioned self. who are identified with suffering, we are going to feel that there's something wrong with me, with life, with others. We blame ourselves, we blame each other. The invitation is pause. Slow down. Stop. Listen. Sense. Not easy, but we can always encourage it again. Remembering that in suffering, in turning towards the suffering, recognizing suffering, contemplating suffering, we are on the path. The path to the ending of suffering. Yes, when we slow down, when we pause, allow this aching heart, allow the pain. What naturally arises is compassion. And when compassion arises, it's boundless. In its boundlessness, what dissolves is this identification with a sense of self. I'll read some words from Ajahn Sucheero on compassion, where he says, "Compassion is the kindly eye on the helplessness of our suffering. When we experience suffering without blame or defense or struggle, compassion arises. When entering into this sphere of compassion, it's not a matter of doing anything. Instead, it is about entering that place where one touches the pain directly. Then, through staying in the hurt where the mind cannot do anything, has no remedies, the mind comes out of the position of me. The small localized state of mind opens out of the default self and other into the great heart. So the key is turning towards this aching heart. this hurting heart. In attending, just in attending to the heart, compassion naturally arises. We don't do compassion, we don't create compassion. Compassion, wisdom arise. So no shame in suffering. Close off this talk by reading from Mark Nepo, where he says, having loved enough and lost enough, I am no longer searching. Just opening. No longer trying to make sense of pain, but being a soft and steady home in which real things can land. Thank you, friends, for listening. Thank you. So we have time for questions, comments, reflections on our practice. Because when we dedicate marriage, it's a reminder that we practice not just for ourselves, but for the welfare of the whole. So may all blessings accrued from practicing together like this today be of benefit to ourselves, to our loved ones, to our communities, and to all beings everywhere. We send out, we share this merit for the ending of suffering for all living beings. May all living beings be free from suffering. May there be peace. May there be peace. May there be peace. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.